Welcome to Straightforward, the engaging audio series from North Group Consultants designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes North Group's newest partner, Craig Schloniger, who joined the firm at the beginning of April. They will discuss Craig's leadership journey and the wealth of experience he brings to North Group clients. Now, here's Roger North.
Every once in a while, I find myself needing to fill out one of those forms where you need to indicate what industry you are in. And in our case, I find that a little bit challenging. Sure, we're in the consulting business, but there usually isn't a box for that. More broadly, I like to describe ourselves as being in the personal services business. And lots of people, really, when you think about it, are in the personal services business. CPAs are in the personal services business. Attorneys are certainly in that business, estate planners, insurance people, and all manner and variety of consultants, even North Group, are in the personal services business. And so much of what we do depends on not only our professional expertise, but fundamentally it depends on relationships, and those relationships are animated by trust. So every once in a while, I find myself in a conversation about how you handle a situation where a friend is looking to become a client. Is it worth it? And every once in a while, I've got to thinking about, would I rather have a friend become a client, or would I rather have a client become a friend? Well, of course, the answer to that is yes. I like it both ways. But perhaps even more important of a question for me the last couple years has been, what if it looks like a friend ought to become a colleague or even a partner? And I've been fortunate enough that in the last couple of years, two of my very, very good friends have decided to become my partners. Jerry Murray became a partner to me in 2009, and today I welcome my newest friend, colleague, and partner, Craig Schloniger, to North Group and to Straightforward. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you very much, Roger. It's just great to join you, and I really appreciate the introduction because I do view you as not only a colleague, but just a friend over many years, and I appreciate joining North Group and the entire team.
Thanks, Craig. That's really kind of how we got to this point, is you and I had been together in another setting. It happened to be a church setting. We might talk about that a little bit later. But when that direct relationship ended in terms of how we were connected in that, I think you and I just decided, hey, there's enough here in this relationship that we'd like to keep it going. And so we made sure that our families got connected from time to time, and we made sure that we had breakfast or lunch on a regular basis. And as that occurred over the years and we were supporting each other's professional journey, we got to talking about maybe someday it might be a lot of fun to work together. And recently we reached that point, and I'm really pleased about it. You know, as I was saying a few minutes ago, it does carry a little bit of risk in that what characterizes the friendship now has to be able to hold the professional relationship too, which has some challenges to it, but I'm very confident that you and I will work through those and that'll enhance our friendship, and that's the basis on which we got together.
I would like to agree with that, Roger, in the sense that it does carry a little bit of risk, but it's a risk we talked about beforehand.
We did.
And that takes the risk level down because we both went into this thinking about that and not keeping it to ourselves.
Yeah, and I made sure you're working more closely with Murray than with me. So that should be a lot more fun. Well, Craig, hey, I'd love to, by way of introduction to our Straightforward friends, just talk a little bit about your background and your growing up years and so forth. Tell us where you got your start in the world.
As you'll see, I didn't take a traditional path to where I'm at today. And I had a lot of places where people would say I veered off the path. But really, when I think about my career path, I think it really started certainly growing up and seeing the model that my parents set forth for me. But then it started at Goshen College. When I went to college and received a degree in accounting, because I was very interested in business and wanted to specialize in a certain area of business.
I've heard it said, accounting is the language of business. Yeah. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I think there is. I think it really gives a unique window into a business as a starting point. But Goshen also helped form me with the friendships that I developed there that have lasted a lifetime. And most significantly, it's where I met my wife, Anne. That friendship developed into our marriage and has been very significant to me. But after Goshen College, I then went to Price Waterhouse, which is a large accounting firm, and became a CPA with Price Waterhouse for 4 years.
That was back in the days when they referred to the Big Eight accounting firms, right? And Price Waterhouse was one of those?
That's right. That's before all the mergers took place.
Right. I think now it's the Big Four or something like that.
It is the Big Four.
Okay.
And at Price Waterhouse, I like to think of this is where I received my practical education. Coming right out of college, having that first job, being able to relate to a variety of clients, and again, having that window into their businesses. And so after 4 years at Price Waterhouse, this is where some may say my career veered off path.
It veered pretty significantly because I think I know what you're about to tell us.
That's right. And Ann and I had decided early on, actually before we were married, that at some point in our life, we would like to spend some years in service. And so we decided while we're younger and before we have a mortgage on the house and before we have children.
So there weren't any children at this point.
That's right.
Okay.
That we were going to go overseas and serve for 3 years.
And this was something that was important to Ann as well?
It was important to Ann.
And you had decided that at some earlier point in your marriage that you'd look for that opportunity?
That's right.
Okay.
And it actually was really good advice. Again, a mentor gave us that advice to not only think about where you want to be in 5 years, but to put that in action and to accomplish that. And so we went with Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, and went to Swaziland, Africa for 3 years.
Can I back you up just a second?
Yes.
When you decided to leave Price Waterhouse after 4 years, and I assume you had some degree of success there and were reasonably well regarded there, how did that conversation go down?
It's interesting you ask that because things were going very well at Price Waterhouse, and I still remember to this day walking into the partner's office and sitting down on his big couch there.
Were you nervous?
I was really nervous.
Because you're a relatively young man at the time, mid-20s or whatever that would have been.
That's right.
Yeah.
And partners were regarded very high.
Sure.
So I walk in there and he just looked at me and wondered why I'm in his office.
And you should be out billing clients.
Yeah, exactly. And I just sat down and told him that I'm making a change in my career and told him that I was going to volunteer in Swaziland, Africa. And I'll never forget his response, Roger. He looked at me and he just shook his head and he said, "Craig, this is the biggest career-limiting move you could ever make."
And what were you going to say to that? I know.
I didn't know what to say. And he wondered why. He came back with a comment of, "As a capitalist that I am, I do not understand why you would volunteer for 3 years in Africa."
Especially when your career's just getting rolling. Was that the kind of place that we read about that partnership's kind of the holy grail, so you work and work and work, and at some point you decide whether you're on partner track, and if you get there, that's it? Was it that kind of firm?
It was that kind of firm. And the saying at the firm was, after 3 years, you're either up or out.
Up or out.
So that was very much where it was, and I had just been promoted the year before. So the partner really had trouble with this because he only had the vision of what was involved at Price Waterhouse. So Ann and I went to Swaziland, Africa.
Despite it being a very career-limiting move, you went ahead and did it anyhow?
We went forward and did it anyhow, and it was an incredibly enriching experience. Mm-hmm. And often we go to serve others and think we are providing the service, and you realize how much you receive back in an experience like that.
What's your most memorable moment from the time you spent there? I think Ryan, your oldest son, was born there, so obviously, that's extremely memorable. But in terms of relationships or the type of work you were doing, what's most memorable to you?
I think the most memorable thing is when you're able to bridge the cultural gap and really develop a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of effort to do that because we speak different languages, we have different ways of going about things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you get past all of that and you realize that people are very similar and have very similar needs.
What a great lesson.
And just really an enriching experience. And one where recently we're having dialogue with people that we knew 20 years ago.
And I think you told me you're planning a trip back there this summer to reconnect and for family purposes, correct?
That's exactly right. And we're very excited about that. It's something that we've been planning for over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives Ryan an opportunity to see his birthplace.
And Ryan is 20 now?
He is 20 years old now.
This is 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it allows Ann and I to reconnect with friends mm-hmm. that we've developed over there.
How would you say that service opportunity was 3 years, did you say?
That's right.
Roughly?
Mm-hmm.
How has that influenced the way that your career has gone since then?
Well, it's influenced in a number of ways. One is being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's allowed me to see, boy, you just have to let go sometimes. And you're totally in a new situation, an unfamiliar situation.
There's no way for you to exercise control there.
That's exactly right. And you're just like, help me through this situation. And then to be surrounded with such good people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think generally you realize how good people are in their heart.
Backing up a little bit as you were talking about that, just letting go, I guess one of the popular sayings is letting go and letting God. But when I think about that on a human level, being at the point in life I'm at, I do wonder how I behave when I don't have control. Because so much of the time in the environments I'm in, whether it's at home or in business or in some other place, I have some element of control, maybe not complete control, but some way to influence the course of events. And I think an important question for those of us who find ourselves at that privileged place of life is, how do we behave when that element's not there?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an important question for those of us who have the favorable circumstances that you and I have in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you learned that lesson early on, which I think had to be helpful to you.
It was helpful because I think that's one thing where myself, I fear that of not having control and not being able to know what to do in a situation. And then you rely on other people.
And after this ridiculous career-limiting move that you made, you had to come back here, I guess, here speaking in the United States, and figure out how to become gainfully employed. How did that go for you?
Well, that came about because Ann and I decided we wanted to live near one set of our parents. And an opportunity came—
And try to get away from the other?
That's not hard to do because they live quite a ways apart.
Okay, all right. One or the other. Right?
One or the other. Okay. That's right. That's right. And so an opportunity opened up in Ohio, and I was able to join the Dutch Corporation, which is a wonderful family-operated business in Holmes County, Ohio. They're in the hospitality business, and they operate restaurants, gift shops, and hotels.
Okay.
So I was able to start out with them as their financial controller and really got to know, again, through the window of finances, got to understand the business, the operations, and the owners very well. And talk about people filled with great values, the owners of the Dutch Corporation were.
And so in that way, similar experience in Swaziland, overcoming the cultural and language divide and just finding these wonderful, generous, giving people. And you come back to the United States, get associated with these entrepreneurs and find out the same thing, the generosity of the human spirit.
That is right. And you really realize that. And that has been my experience in life, that you can't allow the few bad apples in the bunch to cloud your vision of how people are. And have really been energized by being surrounded by a great group of people throughout my life.
And I think we talked before, you spent about 7 years with Dutch Corp and got an opportunity to take on some high-level executive responsibilities. Can you talk briefly about that?
Dutch Corporation was at a real period of growth, and they were wanting to organize themselves in a little bit different way than what they had in the past. And so, again, starting out as the financial controller and working at professionalizing some of their systems, and then they asked me to take the position of general manager and a year later to become president of this family business, of which I was a non-family member. And that, again, was just an outstanding experience to have a window into a family and yet not being part of that family. And they were very gracious in the way we worked together. It was a very positive experience.
And then, if I'm following this thing correctly, another ridiculously career-limiting move when you moved from there to?
We moved from there, and I went to seminary for 3 years, Roger.
Oh, my, Craig. How career-limiting is that for a pure capitalist?
You know, again, the same, very same thing happened. And really, at that time, the church was calling for more pastoral leadership. This is something that Ann and I prayed about for quite a bit of time and talked to other people and decided, you know, I've had some great leadership experiences. This is a direction that I ought to really pursue. And again, to some people, it was, what in the world are you doing?
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah.
So our family moved to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and I attended seminary for 3 years.
Full-time?
Full-time. Mm-hmm. And that's what brought me to Lancaster County.
Okay. Well, we're glad that happened.
That's right.
And that's where we met, actually, Craig, because you came to our church, called as the pastor, and I was on the board of elders, which is the terminology our particular church has for the board of directors or the highest ranking board. So you and I got to know each other through that, and I think developed a friendship through that, and that's continued to this day.
That is exactly where our friendship started.
Mm-hmm.
And again, appreciated your leadership on the Board of Elders during that time, and came to Neffsville Mennonite Church as the lead pastor of the church.
What's your greatest memory, I guess? When I say memory, I mean learning from that period of your life. You've had so many different enriching experiences career-wise. I'm interested in knowing what you brought out of that to move on to the next.
Neffsville Mennonite Church was filled with people that are just very warm and welcoming. And the experience there and the relationship with the people was very good. But one thing I did learn about myself in this experience is not all leadership experiences are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
And you also have to consider the vocation you're involved in as a leader. And the vocation of pastor was something that I quickly came to find was not who I was as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger, as we sat down and talked about this, I just had to be authentic and I had to be honest with the Board of Elders and later with the congregation that this is not my calling. And as much as our relationship was in great shape, I did not feel right about continuing as lead pastor at Neffsville Mennonite Church.
And I think that was probably a point in time where relationship between you and me really gained some serious traction because we had to work through that together. We knew the congregation was going to be disappointed. We knew there were going to be some people that would look on that negatively because it was a relatively short period of time. And just the idea that a talented person like yourself was not seeing that particular vocation as his calling and needed to move on. But I think we worked through that reasonably well, and one of our conversations at the end of that was, hey, wherever this heads, let's keep the friendship intact, and that's been really fun, really valuable for me, and hopefully for you and your family as well.
It's important to be welcoming, but it's also important to help people know how to let go, and not just to hang on to something because that is important to hang on for the sake of
or
that.
Comfortable or whatever that might be.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And so that exit, although, as you said, some people might not have quite understood it because they weren't on the inside of the conversation, was made very seamlessly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we got through that pretty well. And then you found your way to really one of the great career challenges of your life when you joined 10,000 Villages as CEO and you spent the last 6 years there. And maybe you could talk quickly about that as a leadership experience and certainly as a leadership challenge, given the fact that you got a worldwide recession.
That's right.
Superimposed on that organization just as you were getting rolling in your position there.
Well, first, I want to just say 10,000 Villages is just an outstanding organization.
No question about that.
The work that is taking place within the walls of 10,000 Villages and then by extension out to artisan groups around the world is fantastic. And you're right, halfway through my tenure there, the recession hit, and it was not favorable to be in a retail organization when everyone decided it's probably best not to be spending money and to hold on to it.
The consumer discretionary dollar most impacted by that recession, particularly here in the United States. I guess it's hard to argue against a purchase at 10,000 Villages, but essentially a gift shop being a discretionary purchase. So that had to hit you right in the gut.
It did. And yet our core customer stayed with us. And not only that, the leadership team at 10,000 Villages really circled the wagons tightly and really decided this is the direction we've got to continue in order to sustain our operations.
And you had some need, Craig, to lead something of a transition because you succeeded a leader that had been there for many, many years, was highly regarded in the fair trade world, and had a lot of success leading the organization to greater size, greater prominence. And so it was necessary for you to come in and lead some kind of transition and perhaps some cultural change as well. Talk about how you went about doing that.
That's right. I have found when a leader comes into a new organization, it brings cultural change. And people are looking to a leader of how things might be different. And I think probably one of the things that I had been taught and one of the things that was most helpful to me was really to rely on a great leadership team and to build a great leadership team and then to get out of the way and give them the freedom to do their work. And that has been just something that I have found is the wisdom of the people within the organization is so powerful to that organization. The second thing we really worked at was just communication. Continually communicate the mission and the values of the organization. And those two together, I think, are just a powerful combination of how to build a wonderful organization.
And Craig, you articulating that so clearly reminds me of yet another reason why I believe you're going to bring such great value to North Group clients in the future is because what you accomplished as a leader there at 10,000 Villages, and I'm sure in prior leadership positions, is so well aligned with our belief about how organizations become successful. And we take it from a book, as you know, by Patrick Lencioni, which is called Four Obsessions of Extraordinary Executive. But he articulates in that four ways that we ought to go about making organizations healthy. And you just said them just in slightly different language. The first, of course, is to build and maintain a strong, cohesive leadership team. And you obviously went about doing that. The second is determine organizational clarity, which is mainly about mission, it's about values, and it's about culture. And of course, you had something really great to build on there at Villages, and hopefully the same is true at North Group. And then the third, when you said communicate, is that third piece, that over-communication of organizational clarity. And of course, the fourth point is reinforcing organizational clarity through human systems, through properly communicating with and working with employees. You obviously did all those things successfully at Villages. And as we talked through that, it just became apparent to me how applicable all these different experiences, including the career-limiting ones, were preparation for this next step of vocation. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, as you and I began to talk about, well, maybe this would be applicable. Maybe this would be a next good manifestation of everything that's happened in your career, that you would join us at North Group Consultants. What were some of the challenges in your thinking in terms of the potential of joining us?
That is what brought excitement to me about joining North Group. I have been blessed to be a part of a lot of great brands. And when I say brands, I don't mean brands in the marketing sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean brands in what is the promise that an organization is making to their customers?
Mm-hmm.
What is that promise they're making to their clients?
Mm-hmm.
What are the values that they believe in and the values that they live out? And that's exactly why I see North Group as just one of these wonderful organizations and brands, per se, that is out there. And what brings me excitement is to be able to be working with a variety of leadership teams, a
mm-hmm.
variety of organizations, because at the end of the day, we want to see organizations succeed,
yeah.
and we want to see leaders succeed. And that brings me real excitement of joining North Group, joining you, Roger, and joining the entire team at North Group.
And of course, you well stated or paraphrased our mission, which is through sustained relationships to help leaders and organizations grow toward their highest potential. And we've been going about doing that now for 15 years and feel blessed to have been called to that kind of mission and to have it be well accepted in the marketplace. And bringing on somebody, Craig, of your depth and talent obviously was really attractive to Jerry and Dennis and Daryl and myself as we talked about it. People often ask me when somebody new like yourself joins me, now, what will Craig be doing? And I always give the same answer, which isn't a particularly helpful answer to some people, but I usually say, well, the same thing all the rest of us are doing. And that's because our mission hasn't changed. The heart of the mission is to help leaders and organizations grow toward their highest potential. And we believe that leadership animates culture, and that culture is the most important determinant of organizational success. And I know that you believe that too. I've seen you lead that kind of thing in other organizations, particularly in Villages. So that's what you're going to be doing for our clients. But you also bring some additional value, I think, well, I know, because of your operational and financial background. Any thoughts about how that might be valuable to clients on an ongoing basis?
Well, having been a part of a wide variety of organizations, it really gives me a window into that organization
mm-hmm.
to be able to talk financially of what is going on in the organization and then be also able to talk about operationally.
Mm-hmm.
How is the organization set up?
Mm-hmm.
Is it set up to achieve the strategic goals of the organization? But Roger, also, as you said, these are more of the peripheral things. The organization has to take care of its culture,
mm-hmm.
and it has to really zero in on who do we want to be and why are we doing the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, I see organizations I've been part of and other organizations take this step for granted, almost as if culture will just happen on its own. And it
yeah.
will, but it may not end up where you want it to be.
That's such a great point, Craig. Every organization has a culture. It's just not always an intentional culture. And when we get called into organizations, what we like to do is help people understand the culture that's there, affirm the positive things about it, and then identify, is there something else? Is there another place that you'd like to work toward?
That's right.
And let's identify what the gaps are. And many of those gaps are rooted in leadership behavior. And that's rich to me when I or my colleagues are invited to influence leadership behavior in such a way that we can then begin to move the culture from a good place to a great place. And it's slow, sometimes painstaking work because we're talking about influencing change in human behavior. But boy, when it happens, it is so much fun. And I just haven't tired of it.
And that's the excitement of joining North Group, Roger, right there, is being able to have a variety of clients and being able to walk alongside them and work with them in making an impact in culture, which at the end of the day makes an impact in so many different people's lives.
And Craig, I think you're going to be able to do a terrific job coming alongside us and influencing the cultures of our clients. And we just find it such a privilege to be invited into that process. You were with me earlier this week when we were chatting with my longest term client and we were talking about extending North Group's relationship with that client for another year. And I got a message yesterday from the CEO that said, hey, everybody was in favor of doing this for another year and we'll send you your signed agreement and so forth. And boy, that just brought me another moment of humility, really, is to look at this organization, which runs really, really well on a day-to-day basis, but they're still looking at another place that they want to get to. And that place is not about them, and it's not about money, but it is about mission, values, and people. And when you can come alongside an organization that has that kind of commitment, in this case, it happens to be a family. When you see an organization that's willing to have North Group come alongside them for a sustained period of time and say, hey, we're not there yet. We think we can keep going. We think we can make this thing even better.
That's wonderful.
And stronger and create a legacy. It's very humbling, very humbling.
Well, I think that opportunity exists for a lot of different organizations. And Roger, I'd just like to say to you, congratulations on 15 years.
Thank you, Craig.
And not only to you, but to the many people associated with North Group that helped build the organization as it is today. And it's an exciting time to be joining North Group, and I look forward to it.
We welcome you here, Craig, and we're eager to have an opportunity to introduce you to many of our clients and to people that are inquiring about the possibility of working with us. We're humbled by the amount of interest that there is in our brand and our organization right now and the growth opportunities that have been put before us. We don't pursue growth for growth's sake. We pursue growth when it is consistent with our mission and we can carry it out with our values. And that's the reason, really fundamentally, Craig, why we invited you to join us, because we just saw you as a person completely aligned with our mission through sustained relationships to help people and organizations grow toward their highest potential, and someone who really truly resonated in his life with the values of our organization. And so we look forward to many years of working together and partnership. You're coming into the organization as my fourth partner alongside Daryl, Dennis, and Jerry, and I'm excited about that. And I welcome you and look forward to introducing you to many of our clients and friends.
Thank you very much, Roger.
And thank you, everyone, for being with us today on Straightforward. Have a great day, everyone.
We hope you meet Craig Schloniger in person soon and feel as though you know him personally when you do. North Group Consultants continues to provide direction for your future. Through sustained relationships, we identify issues through assessments, guide organizations through transition, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.